Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on danger for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say, fuck them. That's straight from Mike P.
Jump on your bike, let's hit the road. Come on. Fuck the 5-0, man, we out of control. Hey. Bad motherfucker, ride it to the...
Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm all right. I just got here from the dentist, but it's 6:01 on the West Coast. You're calling me from the East Coast, so it's 9:01 by you. Weather was good today. Bill just called me, wanted me to help somebody out with something real quick, and I told him the guy's going to have to wait. Because the guy knows, but he does this all the time. He calls up right before things are happening and wants to drop everything and take care of him. And I just told Bill I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
I mean, any other time they call me during the day, this guy calls me during the day and everything. Why does he wait? He knows it's Tuesday night. Yeah.
Yep. I can see your point there.
Yeah. And then, you know... So I was like, well, what do? Tell him he's going to have to wait. I go, you're getting ready to go home. So, I don't know. I don't like doing that, but when you're, when you know something's going to happen and somebody tells you, hey, I can't call him because he's going to do this, and the guys will call him anyway, that's just no respect.
I agree. Absolutely.
But I heard you had a fun and interesting afternoon. What happened?
Oh, my God, dude. I'm in my best friend's sister's apartment, and me and my best friend, you know, we're family. We've known one another for 25 years. But we're babysitting my 3-year-old nephew. My son's with me. And I walk into the kitchen, and they're in the living room. They're playing and stuff. And I heard it was... 5 of them, pow, 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 pow. And I just stood there because, I mean, people who know me know I hunt, you know. I knew what it was. And I came flying out of the kitchen, and I looked at her, and I said, did you hear that? And she said, those are firecrackers. I said, oh, no, 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 that was not. So I went, because I'm curious by nature, and it's the street person in me, I flew down the stairs and rounded the back of the house. And all kinds of commotion was happening. And next thing I know, I hear a bunch of voices, and they got somebody down on the ground. And then they're doing, like, a search of the neighborhood. I'm telling it through everybody's backyards, over fences, you name it. And then we're in the yard, and all of a sudden we see tons of traffic just coming down the street because we're one street over, directly behind where it took place. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? Well, they had blocked off the whole area. It's a crime scene now. And after that, we were like, everybody stays inside the house today. We're not going outside to play in the yard, you know. And that, to me, just was not cool. It shows, you know, the city of Fall River, Massachusetts has gone to hell in a handbasket. I've seen many things over the past 10 years that made me extremely uncomfortable, but to me that was just too close for comfort. And, you know, one street over begins the lower income houses, if you want to call them that. I don't know, some places they're HUD houses, some places they're Section 8. And that's mainly where it took place, and there's all young folks living in there, you know. and it just blows my mind because this took place in the middle of the afternoon, and you know, I just don't go for that shit. I you know, I have nothing against people, gun owners, you know, people who do things right and stuff. But when you've got an area that's predominantly children, because you have lower income housing one street over where it took place, you know, people need to stop and think. They need to, you know, I wouldn't care if they went back to the days where people took their fight outside the bar, beat one another up, and then bought one another a beer in the end. You know, this stuff is just too much. And, you know, it shook up my son pretty bad, you know, because he understands what commotion is all about. And, you know, the little one, my nephew, he didn't have a clue because he's just a baby. But, you know, it can be intimidating, especially if you're just like two females with a bunch of kids, and that's basically what all that is, where that took place. It's just so many kids, and I'm just blown out by the ignorance of this younger generation. I really don't understand it.
Yeah. No, I don't. It, you know, sometimes at work, I get these young 20-year-old kids that want to fight. The fuck you mean? Again? Like, wait. What the fuck? Where did that come from? Were you disrespecting me? No, I asked you a question. All I asked you was a question, and you're coming at me like this. No.
This generation, no matter what nationality you are, no matter what color your skin is, it don't make a difference. There are some ignorant people. This younger generation. They demand respect, but yet they don't have a clue about what it is to give respect. You know, I still call my neighbors. Now, I'm going to be 45 next year. I still call my neighbors on my mother's street Mr. and Mrs. such and such, because I know if my father was alive and I called them by their first name, I would be hung to dry. You know, we install no mannerisms. And accountability, that's the biggest thing, accountability in this younger generation, because we've been slapped with a textbook and put on scare to the Department of Social Services, who 90% of the time take the wrong kids from the wrong families and then fuck them all up anyways, you know. But we have no authority over our children whatsoever, and I can understand in some ways that it could be good for people, but in other ways I just can't, because these kids get away with shit I wouldn't have even dreamt about trying to do to my old man. It just, oh, it blows my mind.
Yeah, and then you know, like when you say something, you're an asshole.
Yeah, exactly. You get attitude, you get lip, you get, you know, everything. And it's like, I can remember my dad engaging in an adult conversation. It was him, two of his friends, and he had me there by the hand. I had to be like 5 or 6 years old. And I tried to stick my 2 cents in, and he muttered these words to me. He said, children shall be seen but not heard. And this
That's
is an
correct.
Adult conversation, and it does not involve you. And I just stood there like, duh, you know, because when my father looked down and you know, he didn't have to yell because he meant his words. You knew he didn't joke around. When he said it, he meant it. And I shut up. That was it. You know, and I didn't say anything more. But he would constantly say that to me and my brother, you know, in the presence of adults. He wanted his children, you know, to be accountable for whatever they did, and he also wanted to be able to bring us places without all hell breaking loose. And people just don't get it. They don't get it that it starts from in the home. And, I mean, I don't know, too, if, you know, because they do some theories, some textbook stuff, some psychology crap on the amount of broken homes that contribute to the ignorance of the society we got right now. And that could be true because, you know, I was raised with both parents, a lot of my cousins, the same thing, you know, and we're all on the same page. It's just this new generation, we can't, you know, make heads or tails of, and it just keeps getting worse and worse.
Yeah. No, it does. And when you say, you know, when you try and say something, you're an asshole. And it shouldn't be that way.
Nope. Nope. I can remember my grandfather, and if he reprimanded us, it was serious stuff, because my grandfather hardly said two words to anybody. He just worked, did his thing, played in the garden. He just kept busy. He was from the Depression area, time, rather. And if he would stop and talk to you and explain something to you because you did something wrong, God forbid you said anything, because then it went into an even bigger lecture. You knew the respect. You knew just to stand there, take it, listen to the old man because he had a story to tell, he had something to get out, and you just sucked it up like a big dog, and that was it. You know, and I've seen teenagers nowadays who are being raised by their grandparents because their parents just decided to do whatever it was they wanted to do except raise their offspring, you know, mouth off so bad to their grandparents, and I'm just in awe. There's not a day that goes by that I don't think, you know, my grandmother died over this past year, but there's not a day that goes by that I don't think of her in some loving, tender way, and I would never even dream of talking to my grandparents the way these kids talk to their grandparents.
Just, no.
It's like, what do you do for a society that's already ignorant all the way around? How do you correct that?
Well, it's kind of hard to correct anything because you'll go to jail for child abuse.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, and you're absolutely right. And if... just like the way I see things, like today, I had we were in one room and moved to another room, and someone came down and said, in the first thing in the morning, I said, man, it smells like piss in there. Somebody asshole fucking pissed in there, you know. So went and looked and everything, and sure enough, there it was in the corner, and so I went down, talked to people, got everything straightened out, and. About an hour later, this young sailor comes in there, and they got him checking the rooms. They have to go in and check, and they mark a log.
Uh-huh.
And basically, she saw the guy coming from the back of the room, so she thought that he was the one that pissed in there. So she waited till he left, and she walked in and started taking pictures and stuff. And I said, what are you doing? That guy just pissed in here. I think he stopped because I came in the room, and I said, no, that's been there since this morning. I said, he just set that machine down, and he was coming out when you were walking in. He goes, no, I saw him in the corner. I said, I'm telling you. I said, because I just helped him pull it out of there. And hour later, another guy comes. Hour after that, another guy comes. The third guy comes, and it was like four, but the third, it was three, one girl and three guys. The third guy comes and he says, yeah, we just found 30 beer cans up in the other room, and everybody that was working there last night is going to get fired. Oh, okay.
Holy.
Yeah, because basically the ship is their home. So if you have guys pissing on the ship instead of going to the bathroom on top of the, you know, on the flight deck,
yeah,
down,
yeah.
All at the bottom, wherever you want to go, you can go. But if you're doing that there, what are you doing at home?
Exactly. You know, not to bring Facebook into play, but have you ever seen some pictures where people are trying to look so beautiful and you see the background? And it's 10 heaps of laundry, 50 old cups. Nice. That's exactly
turd,
what I would be thinking.
Yeah, or a turd floating in the bowl.
Mm. Oh, I can't.
And it drives me nuts. You know, it's like I just got this email today in Australia now. The news is it's okay to tell police officers to fuck off.
Really?
Yeah. It's by, this story is by a girl named Roanne Johnson. And officer pours out woman's drink. Boyfriend tells cop, fuck off. Cops. Quite immune to those words. The Queensland magistrate has ruled that it is acceptable for people to tell police officers to fuck off. Peter Schmeid, the magistrate, today throughout a court case against Mundingborough man, Barton, he was 28, who swore at a female officer outside the Consortium nightclub on December 20th last year at 2:40 a.m. Constable Blaine Young gave evidence that Mr. Brandon used the swear word twice towards her after a group of officers patrolling Flinders Street East poured out his girlfriend's drink. The defendant said, "Fuck off," and started walking away, and I asked, "What did you say?" She said. He said, "Fuck off," again, and then said, "I don't like the police, and you think you're all heroes. I told him it was an offense to swear at an officer and gave him two choices, a fine or be arrested. He opted to be put in handcuffs and taken to the watch house. After winning landmark case, he explained out there in court why he pled not guilty, despite admitting to swearing at the constable. On the night, it was completely over the top, and I didn't think it was fair. Most people just cop a fine, but I didn't want to do that. The defendant instead read through hundreds of similar legal cases before employing a lead criminal barrister and solicitor to take on a public nuisance case at a cost of $4,622.11. It was worth it for the horticulturist, as Magistrate Smith said he was not satisfied committing an offense and police could be liable for his legal bill. The defendant spoke normally. He had his hands in his pockets and walked away. I'll just say judge instead of Schmidt. It's not the most polite way of speaking, but those who walk the beat would be quite immune to those words. The magistrate, the overall conduct of the defendant was not a nuisance to the public because it didn't interfere with fellow nightclub goers. He was overkilled by the officer, who was not offended anyway, but she pursued him, clearly annoyed that he had sworn remorse. The barrister, Justin Gregory, said the case was doomed to fail from the start, arguing that saying the F-word to police was not an offense. It was simply fuck off, a common expression which wasn't descriptive like fuck you or fuck you fuck, he said. Because basically, a lot of times, I mean, I've said it, you probably said it, people, fuck you or fuck off.
Yep.
You know? I mean, I did one a couple months ago, if you remember, when I said the Supreme Court of the United States said it's okay to flip them off.
Yeah.
And that guy won $76,000 and they had to pay his legal bills.
They make such a big...
Yeah, it's like, really, the word lost its effect due to its use in books, films, and general speech. Excuse me. Mr. Gregory added that the police weren't trying to criminalize language, which is set a dangerous precedent. When they tried to set the bar this low, they are saying the word fuck is criminal conduct, he said. This language they use themselves in a job while arresting offenders and to other officers. However, police prosecutor Sergeant Richard Scholl argued Mr. Brandon's code of conduct was offensive and stinging towards the policewoman. He displayed behavior and made jibes with the intention to insult. Police should be shielded from this type of language, and the community cannot accept it's okay for a private citizen to tell police, fuck off. Queensland Police Union Iron Labors agreed and called for an urgent appeal of the case, which could set a precedent in Queensland law, Australian law. It is a sad day when the courts and government say it's okay to use four-letter words at police, he said. To say it's okay to use offensive language at police in the street who are just doing their job makes no sense at all. Mr. Smith will decide today whether the Queensland Police Service will cover his legal bills, which legal counsel later reduced to $25,27.50 after a successful outcome. By law, the maximum amount to be reimbursed is $1,500. The case follows that of a Sydney student who was cleared in May of an offensive language charge against police after a local court magistrate ruled the word prick was not part of everyday speech. So, it just doesn't happen here.
Yeah, because over here in Massachusetts and Rhode Island, if you start swearing and carrying on, they'll tag you with disorderly conduct. They don't care. Yeah. You know, but I tell you this much, out of a lot of officers I have seen in my day, they're all dropping F-bombs very freely. So,
You
know, they use that as a scapegoat because the word fuck automatically...
I had a CHP guy tell me, hey, motherfucker, get off your bike.
Exactly. They get to turn around and say, well, that's, you know, a threatening word. No, it's not. It's just slang or, you know, whatever. But yeah, they use it too. They need to just chill out and fuck off.
That's it. So what do you think about that, Eunice?
I think it's wonderful. Because I've always wanted to tell police to fuck off.
Well, you know, the guy that won that case was from Boston. He won $76,000 and the right to flip him off.
Right.
So it's not illegal in Massachusetts anymore.
Yeah. Well, these cops tell you to get out of the effing car anyways, you know. They don't have very nice language either.
No. No, most of them, the guys I've seen from Boston, most of them got roid rage anyway.
Yeah,
well,
they do.
I'll tell you, one cop pulled me over and he, you know, told me to get the F out of the car, and I said to him, "Do you talk to your mother that way?" And he looked at me. I said, "I'm serious." I said, "I'm old enough to be your mother, and you're talking to me that way? I think I'll look up your mother's phone number and call her." Hey, you know?
Good
and
job.
You. Oh, I'm sorry. And I says, "You don't look sorry."
Did he give you a ticket?
Bet your ass he didn't.
Well,
you know?
He didn't. Oh,
I was serious. I was serious, you know?
He did.
How dare he tell me to go fuck off, you know?
Yeah. So the little one in Chi-Town, what's up?
Not much. What's new?
So what do you think about that?
I don't know. I tell a cop to get the fuck out of my driveway. Didn't know he was a cop. I didn't care.
Yeah.
Did anything happen? No. He wrongfully came into my driveway in the first place. I told him to get the fuck out. Move the fuck on.
Yeah. Well, I had Senator Brownsberger call me last night.
Uh-huh.
And he said that 30 out of 40 of the senators have signed a petition on this bill. And out of 160 representatives, 100 has signed a petition for this bill. So if this never doesn't get it passed, nothing will ever get it passed, you know?
Yeah.
So they all signed a petition. They want this bill out and voted on. So, which was good news. And, of course, I went to the doctor's, the specialist Thursday, and they are going to be doing open heart surgery within the next week or two. So, and I'm going to Brigham and Women's Hospital.
Well, that's one of the best hospitals over there, so you're in good hands.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Certainly is. So. But I'll know more details Tuesday the 6th, and I'll let you know. But they said probably four to five days after I meet with the surgeon that we'll have, they'll do the surgery. But it is going to be open heart, so.
Oh, yeah?
So that's where I'm at, yeah. Yeah.
How are you feeling?
You know, I feel, you know, some days I have good days, Philip, and other days I have lousy days, you know. But, you know, today was a good day. Yesterday was a good day. So we'll just see, you know. We take it one day at a time. What else can I do, you know? I'm scared shitless, but, you know, it's got to be done. It's got to be done. So, I had lunch with Hermes yesterday and Peter.
Uh-huh.
You know, so Hermes just became a grandfather again yesterday. He's all tickle pink, you know.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I texted him. He texted me and I texted him back Sunday.
Yeah, so he's, you know, was kind of excited, but. You know, so we got his thing rolling, so things are rolling good for Hermes there, so.
Here you go.
I said, "Hey, listen, you know, give me a break." "No, you're never getting out of this one," he said.
Yeah.
Too much. I mean, he can get on that radio show and he can talk and talk and talk, but he's not a salesperson, you know? He needs someone to speak for him.
Yeah.
And of course, me being his friend, I'm the one that ends up speaking for him, so. But, you know, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
He'll be fine.
Good.
So, I listened in Thursday night, but, you know, again, we have to, you know, Bill, you couldn't get in one word edgewise. He was on a roll Thursday night, huh?
Yeah, well, yeah, with the same thing with that guy called up and, basically, that guy had sent me a thing that he wanted to talk, but he didn't. He didn't tell me what day, and then put us off guard. But we let him have his time.
You know, who was that guy, anyways?
He's from East LA, and he's a friend of that guy, the band leader, Roy Gaines.
Yeah.
He has a jazz blues band. He plays really good music.
Well, that's good.
So
somebody's
that.
Laughing. Well, I'm not going to stay on long, Phil. I'm going to take some pills. Yeah, I will. I'll let you guys know what happens.
Okay.
All righty.
Okay,
all right,
you stay
out
of trouble.
Take care of
Eunice.
I'll call you.
Bye-bye. So, I was going to talk about two things, and then I got sidetracked, and then there's some stuff going on here with, we're getting, they won't load the chat room, and I don't know why.
I was calling to give you an update. Surgery has been postponed until further notice.
Why? What happened?
There's a problem with his blood. So he had he was admitted yesterday because surgery would have been today. And he was released last night after he did some blood work. And the blood came back. He had to go see the pediatrician today, and he's got to go back tomorrow.
Wow. Are you holding up?
Barely any sleep since Saturday. You know, my kids came in, and a friend of mine from Maryland, he drove 13 hours to be here. He came in Sunday, and he worked today, so once they reschedule, he'll come back, and, you know, he saw how things were and, you know, was able to have time with, you know, Megan and I and baby and my kids. And, you know, it was cool that way, but it was a big blow, you know.
Yeah.
Because if the surgeon would have tried to attempt the surgery, there would have been swelling on the brain, and it would have been permanent damage. She would have ended up having seizures on the table, so I just have to wait now. I have to wait until the results come back and get everything confirmed and go from there.
Yeah, I'm still trying to get these. It won't fucking load. Nah, here we go. They stopped playing around. Yeah, so they postponed it because of the blood. How is he holding
up? There's an issue with the blood, huh?
But is this going to be a problem for him? Is it causing any more damage? Or
There's damage already there. We just don't know if it's permanent. If they go to reschedule, it will not be in the month of August because the surgeons are completely booked. So we don't know when it's going to be. And they said they can go up to the age of 2 years of age, but there's already permanent things coming into play, and it's not cool.
Yeah.
You know? So we just you know, are back at square one. We just have to wait and see what happens with the blood results.
All right. Yeah, I'm trying to see when Bill's not here. Usually, I got things set up, but today was I had to go to the dentist before this, and I got here just in time to sit down and turn this on, so I didn't have a chance to hook up any of my firewalls or anything, and they're jamming with us from this side and that side.
It's what they do best.
Hello, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going tonight, guys?
Good. What's up?
Oh, just another day in paradise. Enjoying the nice weather out here. Quit raining a little bit ago. It cleared up some, so that's a good deal. About 75, 80 degrees. Perfect for them, really. So, yeah, I noticed they were messing with you, not having to blog up with all that good stuff.
Yeah, and crazy. You know, I had to go to the dentist today, and they did some stuff. And I got here, like I said, there's some time to sit down, and I'm trying to put stuff up so we won't have any problems. And
right.
They're trying to block me from, they're trying to give me problems, let's put it that way.
Right.
So.
Well, that's real good. Now, listen to your show last Thursday. That was quite the musicians that were on there.
Oh, yeah.
So,
we seen that guy. When I met him, Bill wasn't with me. But I think the guy's phenomenal, man. He had like a 20-piece orchestra. They tore the place up.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard you guys talking about him before, but I never really had a chance to look him up or listen to any of his stuff. And then, who's the lady that came on and sang with him?
Oh, that was his daughter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
You know, when they sound good over the telephone on a radio show, you know they've got a decent voice, and she sounded pretty damn good.
Yeah. You know, it's... We don't discriminate here. We let anybody. And I mean, it's like I said. I don't know if you were here in the beginning, but Bill called me at 5 to 6, and we got a guy. Sometimes this guy's a pain in the ass. He wants you to stop what you're doing and cater to him, and couldn't do it.
Right.
So. I know I'll hear from him tomorrow, whining.
Well,
but,
you know,
yeah.
Sometimes people like that come into our lives, and what do you do?
Actually, nothing.
Exactly. Yep.
So
what else is going on out there in California?
Oh, I just got a lot of things going on, and I'm working 7 days a week, but it's kind of hard running north and south. And Bill had him run out of his shop the other day, and that turned. I haven't talked to him how that came out, but there was a lot of craziness.
Yeah.
But have you got any? I put those pictures up of her, and then she got knocked out of the box Sunday by Tina Marie.
Oh, okay. Tina's a cool chick. I like her.
Yeah.
So that happens. And I haven't had a whole lot of time to do much with photos here lately. I've had a couple weddings and some stuff like that, and then I've been working on my Jeep. I ended up blew the head gasket on it when I was coming back from Lake Powell, and I'm just now getting around to rebuilding the motor on it. Got it all tore apart and was putting it back together, and I had a crack on the intake manifold.
Uh-huh.
But it didn't look real bad. I thought it might be all right. Got ready to put it back on, and the whole corner fell off. So I figured, just have to order a new one. But
yeah.
So I'm just kind of sitting around the house, not doing a whole lot. So.
Yeah. Well, have you got any new candidates?
I do. I'm actually going to be working with one the next couple of days, see if I can't get her in there. And then, of course, I'm shooting with Jacqueline again on Tuesday, and she's absolutely stunning, so pretty much any time I work with her, I'm more than willing to send those in if you got an opening. So, did Katie get pretty good hits on those tattoo shots?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
A lot of hits from the Far East.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, she was excited and tickled to death. She was able to get back on there that one night she called in and I wasn't able to. So.
Yeah, they're now they're screwing with everything. Okay. Guys, they got nothing better to do.
Yeah. Well, we're not even talking bad about anybody tonight, so I don't know what their problem is.
No, and I got a thing I wanted to talk about. It's just like the NRA for guns. This is the NRA for knives, knife rights. It's a foundation.
Okay.
And I'm gonna put the link location in the chat room right now.
Okay.
Is they letting? So, anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. What it is this is the mission statement of the Knife Rights. It's a 501c membership advocacy organization, and a 501c Knife Rights Foundation. Knife Rights is dedicated to providing knife and edge tool owners an effective voice to influence public policy. They just popped up some fucking picture in the screen here. Anyway, the efforts to restrict the right to own use and carry knives or edge tools, encouraging safe, responsible, and lawful use of knives and edge tools through education, outreach, and enhancing positive perceptions of knives and edge tools in their owners and users. But here in California, it's different because a lot of guys walk around with a big hog leg.
Right.
Some cops, they don't do nothing about it. The other ones, they want to be a dick, they'll arrest you for a felony.
Now, do they give you a minimum length out there that you can carry?
It's on the blog. It's the Knife Laws for California, and it has the town that Bill and I live in happens to go by the state law, but each city or municipality has their own regulations for it. So,
okay.
Your question: yes and no. Depends on where you're at. LA, I think it can be no longer than 3 inches. If I'm not mistaken.
Okay. And I'm thinking that's what it is in Colorado, and if you're in your pocket, it's concealed, which is stupid. But I'd have to double-check on that.
Yeah, it's like, what do you do and how do you do it, you know?
Exactly.
Over here, they say if it's longer than 3 inches, it's no good.
Okay.
Yeah, and I just got a message from Rusty and the boys. They're still in Chicago.
Cool. So who else is on tonight? We got Nora and Stacy?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, how's things going for you, Stacy?
Could be better. It was an interesting day.
She had an interesting, trying day. Better tell you about it.
Yeah, there was some type of shooting that went on one street over from where we were, except the house is, like, lined up directly with where we were, and all kinds of hell took place. But you know, it was two females with my son and a small child, and all hell was breaking loose. And we were just talking about, you know, that area there is like housing style houses where there's lots of kids 24/7. And it's just amazing. This took place like this afternoon, and they blocked everything off. It was a complete crime scene, and they were going in and out of people's yards. It was nuts. It was complete chaos. Too close for comfort.
Yeah, that's no good. So is it like Section 8 housing, or is it just...
Yeah, that's what I think it is. It's, you know, I mean, everybody says it's low-income housing, but it's like, I think it is Section 8 housing.
Okay.
But I mean, it's crawling with kids all the time.
Uh-huh.
All the time, because it goes, the apartment we were in, there's a fence, there's like a flower field, and then there's a huge parking lot that runs three buildings long, and in each one of these buildings, there's six apartments.
Okay.
Anywhere from 2 to 3 bedrooms. So it's crawling with kids, crawling with kids. And it blew my mind because, you know, it's just a bunch of younger folks that aren't taking nothing into consideration, and they're turning the city into a complete war zone.
Now, was that an all-day thing, or was it just a couple hours where that took place?
It went on pretty much all day. When I left out of there, it was like 3:15. I had to take the opposite way around, and they still weren't letting anybody by. So I know there was a news crew there. A bunch of media people showed up. I didn't see the news tonight, but I'm going to try to catch the 11 o'clock news to see if there was anything on it or what they found out or whatever. But it was just complete chaos.
That's crazy. That's just think you and your family are safe, you know?
Yeah, well,
yeah,
I knew it. I was in the kitchen, and there's a window there, and that window faces that building. And I was just standing by the sink, and I was about 6 feet away from the window. And, of course, it was up. It was a beautiful day over here on the East Coast. It was like 81 degrees, no humidity. We have all the windows open, and it was consecutive. It was like the same sound, the same vibration. If you hunt or you know about guns or whatever, you know it's a very distinct sound. And my best friend was like, "That was firecrackers." I'm like, "That was no firecrackers." And then, like I had said to Phil, I had to run outside, of course, to see what the hell was going on. And that's when I was watching all kinds of crazy madness happen. It was nuts.
Uh-huh. Now, did you make sure to call Al Sharpton and all those idiots to get them out there to protest everything that's happening and the demise of our world?
Oh, my God.
I bet you we don't hear about any of that on the news.
I was saying to Phil that the city over the last, I don't know, maybe 20 years has just shot to hell. There's nothing good about it. When I was a kid, it was beautiful, you know. Fall River was a beautiful city. It was a hard-working city, but it was a mill city. And now that all the mills are condos, there's no work. And
right.
It's gone to hell in a handbasket. And the old-timers, because it's a predominantly Portuguese city, and the old-timers that were young when I was a kid, they've all moved back to either the Azores or Portugal or Bermuda, wherever. And, you know, the riffraff has just come in, and it's horrible. It's like you don't feel safe anywhere. And, you know, I always hung out in the city. I was a little bit on the rougher side, if you want to call it. And, I mean, I never had no problems anytime, anywhere with anybody. But nowadays, man, I don't trust anybody walking the streets of that city anymore. No one.
Right.
We got a caller from Wyoming. I'll bring the caller in right after you finish.
I'm good. If you're good, Stacy.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
Hello, Wyoming.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. You'll have to excuse my phone. Wyoming is kind of like a different ozone layer compared to most of the country. We're about over 5,000 feet high. And when we get clouds, our cell phones go in and out. So kind of bear with me, okay?
Sure, go ahead. Tell us who you are.
Pardon me?
Tell us who you are.
Oh, I'm Kimberly Packard. I live in Douglas, Wyoming. I run a flow test company. We flow test oil and gas wells and all that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you hear about us?
Oh, gosh, you know, I joined Facebook and a bunch of people started, you know, bikers and such. You know, we're all one big family no matter where we're at. And I started inviting new people into my Facebook. And pretty soon, you know, we're all just kind of doing all kinds of neat stuff now.
So what's going on in your part of the world today?
Well, today we're just kind of building up the shop, and I just finished the 11-foot tall, 8-foot long mural on the hog shed that don't work with my bike, so I've been doing that. And I've been, I've been kind of concerned about the teenagers of today. You know, they're kind of really off the wall. I think they're kind of overexposed and underdeveloped, kind of like a Kodiak, you know?
Yeah,
and we've
about,
got,
about a half hour ago, we had to... Yeah, go ahead, Stacey.
I was going to say you got too many grandparents raising somebody else's responsibility, and, you know, that's a big burden, too. They don't have the time, strength, or energy to keep up with these younger folks in the day.
Well, there's no reason to pawn your children off on somebody. I mean, that's just irresponsible. You know, children are like planting seeds in the garden. They've got to be nurtured and watered and, you know, all that kind of thing. And when you, you know, it's kind of like trying to train Morniglorian vines when they start coming up. You got to train them to go up the fence in a certain way so they don't start branching off by themselves and making a mess of it, you know.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, there's a lack of responsibility on the parent side of it. We've become very selfish, I think, because there's so many things out there that we can do. We're not really focused on anything, any one thing, and don't know how to prioritize anymore and to, coordinate our lives accordingly. You know, we're always kind of trying to fight change, and you know, we're not thinking things through anymore.
Has any accountability for their actions. You know,
exactly.
For nothing. It doesn't make a difference what it is. Nobody wants to own up to anything they do. It's always somebody else's problem, and that's the biggest problem right there.
Yeah, that's true. You know, Native American shaman, you know, there's three things that are very, very important to lead an impeccable life and to demand that of yourself, because if you don't, no one else will. One of them is responsibility, the other one is accountability, and the other one is impeccability. And those three things combined make a great human being. Now, I'm not saying, you know, whip yourself into shape and, you know, live in this little box and don't travel outside. It's the new things for change. The more knowledge you have, the better you do. And you just have to use the wisdom within yourself, within your heart, because your higher self is always speaking to you. And 9 out of 10 times we go against it and we end up in a mess.
True.
Yep, mm-hmm. Absolutely true.
It's like, you know, our kids here, you know, I have a gun. I travel with a gun. You better believe I travel with a gun on my bike. You can't trust anybody. If I need to shoot it, I don't take it out unless I need to shoot it. I don't wave it around threatening people and, you know, throwing my ego and my weight around. You can't do that. That's irresponsible, you know. that gun, you got to have respect for that gun. That gun by itself isn't dangerous. It's when the person picks up that gun that it becomes a weapon and dangerous. You could do it with a knife. You could do it with throwing rocks. You could run somebody over with your car. But there's a responsibility there. And we raise our kids out here with that responsibility and the value of life. We teach them to think things through because the consequences out here are detrimental. Now, when we flow test oil wells, we are the pressure. We equalize the pressure as they're fracking and whatnot. Now, if we goof and we're irresponsible because we're sitting in the trailer BSing with a company hand or whatever, and we're not watching that gauge, guess what? That thing, it's just a split second when it shoots up there, and we have that split second to relieve that well. Or guess what? 250 people on location will die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got a friend of mine working out there.
Oh, yeah, where at?
He's driving a truck. I'm not sure what he's doing, but he's a welder, and he can't stop welding, so he's driving a truck.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He's either a water hauler or maybe welds the pipeline and the batteries together. The batteries are what the oil goes through a separator, which separates the water, the oil, and the gas. And the oil and the water go into what we call tank batteries. And they come in twos. We put them together, and there's like to 16 of them at all times. A gas flared out a stack.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's probably what he puts together.
Yeah. Now, I haven't talked to him in a couple weeks because I got some work for him coming up here after the first of the year. But for right now, he's doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and another thing, you know, a lot of people are carrying around a baggage. No, in fact, what we were talking about before, you know, a lot of people are carrying around baggage. How can we be responsible adults when we've got so much baggage and we haven't worked with? You know, it's turned to drugs, alcohol, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, as we were talking about in the beginning, grandparents and the neighbors or whoever's watching the kids, you know, and they're just running wild.
Yeah, so whoever that is not sitting still or whatever, can you kind of like sit still because you're causing a lot of, when people are talking, it's hard to understand what they're saying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is that you?
No, I'm not making a bunch of noise. Somebody's doing something.
Yeah.
But next topic of discussion, who's going to Sturgis this year?
I'm actually working 7. I'm working 7/12s, and I happen to work on the Navy shifts every day, so I got some stuff coming up that needs to get done, and I won't make it this year.
Oh, wow. You know, my brother's in the Navy. He's out in Oahu. I just went down to see him, about 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're...
He's been in the Navy forever. He's a petty officer, Sean Harney. Yeah.
Yeah, we're, I'm 38 miles north of San Diego right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was just there. Let's see, we had to take another plane over to Hawaii. And you know what? It's like, man, I didn't realize it was like a 5-hour flight. I'm like, God, you know, everybody makes it sound like it's a 2-hour island hopper type of deal. And I'm sitting on a plane and it's like, 5 hours. I'm like, what is up with that?
Yeah.
No. But anyway, I thought I'd, you know, drop in, say hey. Anybody got...
Yeah, come back anytime.
Oh, yeah. Take care of yourselves. And, you know, if you have any questions or anything that you might need help with, a personal problem or a stage of growth or whatever, look up my Facebook, and I'm be loving to help you out, help you find your way.
All right, thank you.
All right, I'll hope. Bye.
Bye.
So, yeah, it's kind of a small world all over, you know?
Yes, it
no
is.
Doubt.
I don't know about that. I mean, they want to start that fracking and stuff here in California, but a lot of people don't want to do it because basically we're sitting on a fault line, so they start doing that shit, drilling holes and taking dirt shit out. I might be on my way to Oahu on a floating piece of California.
Right. Well, I know when I was out there doing work with the gas company, we put in a 36-inch high-pressure gas line right across the fault. But they had to do all kinds of different stuff with sand and all kinds of crap. But as far as the fracking goes, I don't know how that would, you know, but that's a whole different situation. I don't know how that would work with the fault line.
Well, the way everybody's talking about it, nobody wants to do it.
Yeah, there were a lot of people up in arms about it in Colorado, too, but, you know, it's not such a bad thing.
No, I think the more they want to do it, it's for people to get people jobs. It's basically
right.
Getting a job. You know, so I mean, I got a lot of guys. We got a guy in Oceanside now that's, he's starting to take helmets again, this prick. I had a guy tell me the other day, well, I had to wait for somebody to bring me another helmet. I said, why? You could have just wrote off. It's only $25. What do you mean? I said, that's a fix-it ticket.
Right.
So now that this guy's taking people's helmets, they're all just driving off. And so he's standing there shaking his head going, like, what the fuck? What do I do now?
Now, how does that work if you're traveling state to state? Then you don't have your helmet. Is that still a fix-it ticket? Or is that something where you can get to some of those states and they can impound your bike?
Yeah. And it depends. Because on my site, there's the helmet laws for all 50 states. And
okay.
If you're going to go through certain areas on your way to Sturgis, you might want to check that and make sure you're okay. There's a lot of what they're going to do is they're going to pull people over and give them tickets, all kinds of stupid bullshit tickets just to raise money.
Right. Well, Sturgis is nasty about that. They have that rod that try to stick up your tailpipe and make sure that it's baffled. The handlebars, they get everybody for having ape hangers that are too tall. And I think they just changed that in South Dakota, too. And I think some of it's even by county where it can't be, is it 2 inches, I think, over your shoulder? Something like that.
You know, I got a news flash for you guys. This is from Mac. He's one of the guys in Bolt with me. And he said he's been waiting for Larry to post about his court case, but his computer may be down again. But he spoke to Mark about his new a few minutes ago, and hope Larry can add to this. This guy goes by, his first name is Larry, so I'll leave it at that. Had his first helmet ticket court case today. His ticket was written by that shit for brains, Sacramento Deputy Sheriff Padgett. Padgett has been writing a ton of tickets. The last one that was worked on, he wrote a guy a helmet ticket for not having a DOT certified helmet class. There's no such thing. In a couple of internal affairs complaints, the Sacramento Sheriff's Department claims that Officer Padgett is a helmet law expert. Officer Padgett doesn't even know the basic helmet law. We all make a lot of mistakes our first time in court, but the judge ruled in Larry's favor, not guilty. Most cases are simply dismissed. According to Mark, Padgett was so pissed he tried to grab Larry's helmet on the way out of court to see if there was a novelty label on the outside. Larry kept his helmet to himself and stated all you have to be concerned about is the DOT sticker on the back. Great job, Larry. By the way, on a not guilty, you can sue the cops for false arrest. Which is true. What else is going on out there? Anybody?
I've got a ride coming up that we're going to hopefully be talking about on Thursday, the Iron Horse ride. It's a gentleman that I've been talking to here lately. He's does some psychiatry, helps people with PTSD or PTSD, some of those types of things, alcohol and substance abuse. And he does it on a ranch using horses. And he's been paying for it out of his pocket for the past 10 or so years. And it's to the point where it's big enough and all of that type of thing where he's got to have some help. So there's going to be a little run to try to generate some money so he can keep his horses. And so we'll be talking about that. It's going to be happening October 5th.
This is the guy that's going to call Thursday?
Yes. Yep.
And so give me a little more background on that.
Sure. Let me get back over to the computer where I have some of it in front of me. Got the memory of a goldfish. In fact, I might even be able to get him to call in now if he's listening. If I can pull him up. You can see I'm prepared for you to ask me that.
We're bringing it a little bit tonight anyway.
Exactly. Not a problem. But it's the Colorado Therapy Horses is what his Facebook page is. And he basically brings people out and they get to work with the horses and do things to help get their mind back in check, especially after traumatic instances with war, things like that, substance abuse. Kind of start redeveloping yourself by using some of these animals. So it's a great program. I walked around his ranch the other night, kind of checked things out. Deals with a lot of vets, all kinds of good stuff. And he's a 501c nonprofit. So that's always good stuff, too.
Yeah.
I'm trying to skim through here and see what else I can give to you as far as real quick information on him. I know he's going to be a whole lot better at it than I am.
Yeah. So basically, people can go there when they like, they want to go see a horse or more of a therapy thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like a therapy situation. And I hope I'm not misspeaking any of this as I don't know all the terminology for the types of stuff that he does. But there's something about getting away from the noise of the city, the surroundings of your house that, may remind you of things that haven't been right or whatever. It kind of gets your mind more centered and get yourself in check and to do something productive. Even out here where I'm at, if I'm having a bad day, I go outside, fix fence, do something like that. It kind of lets you refocus your attention, get your energy back where you need it to be, and allows you to kind of better yourself and keep going forward. And I think that, with a lot of these people that, they've come up with programs of prisoners even that work with animals. They train dogs for the blind, search and rescue dogs, things like that. There's something about working with animals and, it's beneficial. And I think his is on a much larger scale, working with some of these horses, putting yourself in that position. It's, everything that I've seen about it so far looks extremely positive. But he's calling part of it is the Wounded Human Project because people have issues, baggage, whatever you want to refer to it as, and that's something that is addressed and he helps to correct and help people to overcome and, like I said, get refocused.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of like the guys out on the base, they send the guys down and talk to Bill during the day.
Okay.
Yeah, because a lot of guys
out there into the shop and.
Yeah, a lot of guys come back and they're trying to find something to do or hook up, and it works out pretty good because everybody we care. A lot of people don't care. We happen to care.
Right. So,
Yeah. But there was another thing I was going to talk about as soon as I can get it up here. Still dicking with us a little bit here. Let's see. Okay. Well, Jacqueline just invited me to the Hard Forever at Club Vinyl.
Did she? You want to come down there and go to a rave?
Nah. I'd rather go to the titty bar.
There we go. Well, I'll have to give her a hard time about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd rather go to the titty bar. But, you know, it's crazy sometimes. Like, right now, these guys are trying to disrupt us, and we ain't really talking anything.
Right.
You know?
Well, that's your tax dollars at work.
Yeah, the other night when Bill left, they were parked out front of the house and followed him when he left.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All the time.
Did he at least take him on a nice round-the-neighborhood tour, or did he just go straight where he was going?
He went right to his house.
Yeah, you know, sometimes, of course, I don't know until I'm in that situation, but sometimes I think if that were to happen, I'd just drive somebody all over town. If I'm ever getting followed, just take them on a tour. What the hell?
Yeah. Well, I get a lot of people, hey, are you coming downtown today? Why? Well, we want to do this, this, and this, and we can't do shit if you come down here because that's when all the cops come out.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So sometimes you got to do what you got to do. Who's getting a drink of water?
Oh, that was me putting something in the kitchen sink.
Oh, no, that was me. I had to rinse my fingers.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
But it was just a light. I didn't think you could hear it.
All right. Yeah. Let me. We picked this. We got a pretty good thing here. It picks up everything. Let me play this. I'll be right back.
Thank you.
number calling from?
970.
All right. All right. Hello there, 970. What's up?
Oh, not much. How about you?
Same, different. Every time we try to do this, we got some powers that be that want to disrupt us, but... We aren't really talking. I ain't really throwing dirt on him today, but I'm getting ready to. But Ryan stopped me because we decided to have you call in and tell us about your program.
Well, I appreciate that, gentlemen. I've got the real horses, and I understand that you guys ride the iron horses.
That's correct.
They're kind of the same kind of animal. Only one is flesh and one is steel. I think both of them heal humans.
Yeah, I just upgraded mine to run faster.
Cool. mine only go about 30, but you know, that's fast enough.
That's okay. I've gone 30 miles an hour on a horse. Yeah, that's fast enough for me on a horse.
Yeah. I think that Ryan's going to have me on Thursday to talk more about the Wounded Human Project. We've been doing some work with veterans and PTSD, depression, anxiety, that kind of thing. I'm a psychologist. Don't get all rattled now. I'm probably the only conservative psychologist in Northern Colorado.
No, you know, the last psychologist I saw at the VA, after hello was, do you have any guns at your house?
Yeah, right.
I
understand that.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck does that have to do with me being here?
Yeah. Well, they're kind of scaredy pants, you know, some of those liberals out there.
Yeah.
But I'm one of the good guys because I am a flaming Tea Party conservative psychologist.
So I started telling briefly a little bit about your setup and your program, and I hope I didn't misrepresent.
No, you did. Is this Ryan?
Yeah. I was standing in the kitchen when it came on, so I wasn't really prepared. But
that's fine. Basically, what we've got is I've been doing horse therapy. I've been using horses for therapy with people for about 13 years. And I have a practice here in Greeley. I work with the probation department, toll department, a lot of drug addicts and alcoholics, and I've been in practice for about 31 years. And I found out that the horses really know how to heal humans. And so I use the animal as a metaphor, as an object of change, to really help the human get in touch with their fears. It's my opinion that depression, anxiety, PTSD, substance abuse, all of those things are rooted in fear. And using the animal, people can get in touch with that fear, and then through working with the animals, then they can learn some ways to overcome their fears. And I've just had incredible stories. In fact, I think Thursday some different clients that I've had, I think, will be listening and will be calling in and sharing their stories on online, so, or on your show.
Good.
Hopefully that'll happen. But
just do me a favor and get my email from Ryan and send me a little background about the whole thing, please.
I will send you a ton of reading material. I hope you have enough time.
Yeah, a lot of people think I have all the time in the world, but I work a full time job, and then running my blog and doing this, it's like a second job. So.
Well, I think it's a good service to be able to have something like this to get all kinds of stuff out there in the sphere, out in the universe, so to speak.
Well, just to give you a little idea, let me enlighten you.
Okay.
Right now, you got people listening. You in the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, Germany, France, Russia, the Netherlands, Romania, and Belgium.
Cool.
As well as
Japan.
Well,
they're all invited to Greeley, Colorado.
Yeah, as well as Japan, India, France, Mexico, China. We got 7 guys in China. If they get caught, they get executed. India, Russia. Yeah, we're all over the world tonight, which is a good thing.
Good.
And basically, daily blog gets anywhere from 80,000 to 90,000 hits per day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And my little Colorado Therapy Horses page we've got about 3,500 followers, but not as many as you do. That's pretty exciting.
Send me something that I could. Yeah, right now, just since I got here and now, it's 92,552 people.
Oh, wow.
Today. So send me a little something I can put up on the blog for you, and I'll put it up there, and send me a workable link, and I'll put you in the friends column. A lot of people are going, hey, I can't see my stuff in the friends column. That's why you click on that little link that says friends, and it opens up another window and shows where everybody's at.
Can I get the email address from Ryan?
I sent it to you. You should have it in your page right now.
Okay. All right.
And I'm working on sending Phil some links as we're talking.
Hey, I got it.
Okay.
I will send all that stuff tomorrow, and then I'll look forward to chatting some more on Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah. No worries. Appreciate that. And you're welcome to hang around. We're going to talk about I got a bunch of topics here. I was going to pick one, but
I'll stick on until my battery runs dead. But then I can plug it in.
Yeah. Well, I got some. I was going to go with police are using license plate reader surveillance to track down everybody, but. Somebody asked me the other day if I still had my helpful cheat sheet on how to deal with the police. So you have the right to be in a public place and observe police activity. If the police stop and watch. Write down officers' names, badge numbers, car numbers. Sometimes you can be difficult for a third party to get close enough to an officer to record their information without needlessly escalating the encounter. Cops can be identified by the numbers on their vehicles. A lot of people don't know that. They think you have to get the name and the badge number. But if you get the vehicle they're riding in, they already know who's assigned to that vehicle. Write down the time, date, and place of the incident and all details as soon as possible. Ask if the person is being arrested, and if so, on what charge. Get witness names and contact information. Now, they might threaten you with charging you with obstruction, but you're not going to be obstruction because all you're asking is questions. Once they got the guy handcuffed and arrested, then you can start talking. Try to get the arrestee's names, but only if they're already known to the police. Document any injuries as soon as possible. Photograph them, prepare a medical report describing details of the injuries. And if the police stop you, ask, am I free to go? If not, are you being detained? If not, you're not, you are, if yes, walk away. ask, why are you detaining me? To stop you. To officer reasonable suspicion to suspect any involvement in a specific crime or not just guess stereotype. It's not a crime to be without an ID. Now, we have guys, certain guys are wearing support shirts from different clubs all over the city that I live in. And as soon as they show up with a support shirt on, they want to take pictures of their tattoos. They want to take pictures of them. They want to take pictures of the bike. They want to take pictures of everything. And you don't have to answer any questions. You don't have to consent to a search. If you're in the car, you don't have to open your trunk or door. By doing so, you consent to a search of your property and of yourself. If at home, stop outside and or behind you so cops have no reason to enter your house. Ask to see the warrant and check for proper address, judge's signature, and what the warrants said the cops are searching for. Everything must be correct in a legal warrant, otherwise send the police away. The cops search the exterior of one's clothing for weapons and intention for officer safety reasons. Now, it's the last 3 months, there's been one guy a month shot for taking out his cell phone because they thought it was a gun.
Yeah, that's getting ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. And, all right, Stacey, you do what you got to do. And, if the police arrest you, you may be handcuffed, searched, and photographed or fingerprinted. Say repeatedly, I do not want to talk until my lawyer is present. Even if your rights aren't read, refuse to talk until your lawyer or public defender arrives. Do not talk to inmates in jail about your case. If you're on probation or parole, call your PD. You've been arrested, but nothing else. Remember, you have legal rights, but many police will not respect your rights, so be careful and be street smart. If you want to read this, it's on the blog. It's going to post up on August 2nd. It should be about the third article on the page. But,
okay.
Yeah, but other than that, so how did you get started with the horses and everything? How did that come about?
It started in 1998 when my wife decided to buy a horse. And I was working with adolescents. I had a practice over in Fort Collins. And I had a young lady that came into my practice and found out that she had been raped and incested by her two older brothers. And she was a horse girl. She, when she was a younger kid, she'd done barrel racing and done some eventing and stuff within in the horse community. And this girl was totally powerless and had lost all of her personal power. So I hired my wife's trainer to give this girl some lessons in an English saddle instead of the big, bulky Western saddle. Put her in an English saddle, and a month later, she was a changed girl. And today she's married, graduated college, has two kids, and doing great. And so from that whole witnessing what happened to her, I've developed this program to heal humans using the horse as the metaphor.
Right.
And that's how it got started.
Oh, okay.
I've been doing a program with horses here in Greeley for about 13 years now.
Nice. And how are you surviving?
I'm surviving, but not financially. The cost of feeding the horses is what's killing me. I've got a herd of 16, and I use all of the animals because last weekend I had some wounded warriors come to my program, and we had about 25 people there, and so I use the whole herd as, the people get out within the herd. And obviously these animals are pretty good sized animals, so it does intimidate, scare people, have some anxiety about it.
Right.
But when they learn how to manage themselves within the herd, that's where the miracle happens. Because the opposite of fear is love.
Yeah.
And so there's just some ways to teach people how to manage that fear. And all of your depression and anxiety and PTSD and substance abuse is all rooted in fear. If you really want to get down to the bottom line of it, we've all you know, things that have trauma that have happened to us throughout our lives has created some prospects of fear. And that's where all this stuff comes from. And, you know,
a couple weeks ago we had a girl on from Florida and a bunch of guys that are on active duty, and they were just talking about the assaults in the military and how they try and cover things up.
Yeah. And I had a girl that was in the Navy that was in our program several weeks ago when we had the vet program, and that's what happened to her, and that assault created, you know, the PTSD that she's suffering from right now. So it happens to us in all kinds of ways, including myself. I almost got killed 3 years ago by a horse.
Right.
And had I not gone after getting out of the hospital after 30 days, had I not gone out and embraced that fear, I would have PTSD right now today. But because I went out and hugged the horse that kicked me, it didn't develop into any anxiety or PTSD.
Good. Yeah, I 3 years ago I got hit by a guy on another bike on the freeway, and I had the bike almost back up till I hit a couple of bot dots and it flipped the bike out from under me. And my partner Bill, we were going down to a friend of ours has a MMA gym. We were going on to watch some guys fight. We get on the freeway, kicks it up to 70, and I hear him tell it, he's looking at my face in the mirror, and he can see me grimacing. So being my very good friend, he kicks it up to 80. He sees me grimacing a little more, so he kicks it up to 90 until we got through that part, that place where I had the accident, and everything was good after that.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I had what happened to me. I got blown up by an IED. Only the IED was a horse's hoof, because
right.
I had a closed. It blew my intestines up. She kicked me right in the belly, and it blew my intestine up, where I ended up having, you know, emergency surgery and took out 9 inches of colon and was in induced a coma for 10 days. But had I not gone back out and hugged that horse that did it to me, I would be suffering from anxiety and probably PTSD today.
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand. We got some guys at work that every once in a while I can see the 1,000 yards there. The guys are like,
yeah,
hey, you know, that guy's not working over there, this guy's not doing this, and basically, mind your own business for right now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and so what I do with the horses is I use them to help people get in touch with that. Because, the horses that I have are not, you know, they're not quarter horses. They're warm bloods, and they all weigh from 1,200 to 1,500 pounds apiece. They're all from 16 to 17 hands tall. And if you walk out in a herd of horses that big, it's going to create some anxiety. Well, when people find out that they can manage that fear by hanging on to the lead rope or by brushing or hugging on the horse, then that fear starts going away. And then they start learning how to control it. And I got to thinking the other night, I think you guys on motorcycles are doing the same thing.
Yeah, we are.
And I'll tell you about it on Thursday.
Sure, no problem.
I think that the motorcycle is the horse to, you know, and works the same way in dealing with depression and anxiety and all that stuff.
Yeah, because a lot of guys.
I'm positive of it.
Yeah, a lot of guys walk into the shop and Bill gets them right away, you know, and he can tell pretty much what's going on, and he asks them straight out, "How long has it been since you rode?" Da 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 da, you know, and the guy's looking at a bike. Well, I was interested in this bike, and he's got a thing he calls the Kennedy Triangle, and it's basically your foot pegs, the seat, and the handlebars. Once you're comfortable in those three, with those three things, then basically you're set. But a lot of guys just jump on a bike and they start riding and they're not used to, you know, either their knees are cocked the wrong way or if you're going on a long trip and you crank your wrist a certain way, you're going to get all that, you're going to get the tingling and so forth. But yeah, you pretty much got a handle on that.
No, you know, and that's why we're having on October 5th, we're going to have a polka run that we're putting on to raise money for my program. And that's one of the, you know, one of the things that one of our fundraisers, I'm a 501c3, a nonprofit. And obviously because of the hay crisis, I got to feed the animals and I've got to raise money to feed the animals. And so we're going to do a polka run here in Greeley where, well, you know, they're going to, there's a five stop, I think there's five stops, and then they're going to all meet up at the horses. And we're going to have a concert and barbecue and just kind of a family kind of affair.
On Thursday.
When
is
this going
to take place?
Yeah, I want to draw the two populations together because there's so many, well, obviously there's so many veterans that are riding bikes.
Yeah.
And I want to introduce them to the horses. It's October
5th.
It's a Saturday.
This Saturday?
No,
it's Saturday, October 5th.
Saturday, October 5th. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you guys got a flyer up, send me the flyer.
Yeah, I'll email that to you. I'll email you the flyer and some stuff about me. So,
sure, that'll work. And then let me break for a minute. I'll be right back. I'm gonna play this song and I'll be right back. Oh man, why are you guys doing this to me? Yeah, they're dinking with us a little bit, guys. Let's see. All right. Here we go. They're going to play games with us now. Yeah, I guess they're bored today. There we go. Thank you. Dinkowitz a little bit, basically trying to knock us off the air. So if you can, Thursday, I'd say call about 6:30, 6:45, right around there at that time, because Bill's got something that's going. It's going to be probably the first half hour, 45 minutes of the show, and then we'll bring on after that. But I think I'm going to call it a night, and I appreciate you guys calling in, everybody listening, but I'm trying to fight these guys off, and I'm not going to do it tonight. Not going to aggravate myself.
Right on.
So we'll talk to you guys Thursday, and thanks for everybody tuning in, and we'll see you soon.
All righty. Have a good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
All right, good night.